Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Power Hour here on 90.5 WUOG. And you can also listen live at WUOG.org. This is it, Game 7 of the World Series. I mean, it had to come down to this. The two teams with the biggest droughts in the history of sports, Indians since 1948, Cubs since 1908, it had to come down to a Game 7.
That's exactly what happened, and it's also due to the fact that other than Grady Jarrett, who was arguably the MVP of that Super Bowl, and probably would have been if the Falcons had won, he was fantastic. But other than that, in the second half, they had almost no pass rush on Brady. There was no pressure. So these plays are going for 3-4 seconds, and that's another. I mean, you can't cover people for that, receivers for that long in the NFL. You just can't.
Actually, right now we're about to be joined by Braves pre- and post-game show host and a occasional Braves play-by-play announcer, Ben Ingram. So, Ben, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing really well. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great here in Athens. Who are some standout players you've seen so far? I know there's only been about four games, but who's really stood out so far at the beginning of this spring training?
Well, let's start at the major league level, and this really shouldn't come as any surprise. Freddie Freeman is off to a great start, 7 for his first 10.
Yeah, he was looking catcher was looking down and away, looking for a pitch in the dirt. 0-2 count. You know, you throw a curve breaking ball in the dirt, but nah, he just hung it up there, and it was pretty much over after that. But like you said, with the Cubs hitters seeing pitchers multiple times, the Cubs are a team that does phenomenally well after they see pitchers multiple times, even pitchers multiple times within a game. And so that's been one of the big reasons with the way Francona has been managing the bullpen, as changing up the pitchers and everything. I would argue San Francisco's in a better position than even the Rams are, because the San Francisco has a bunch of extra money right now.
They've
cleared off a ton. They have a ton of money for free agency. It looks like they're going to probably get Kyle Shanahan as their new head coach, which is what it's looking like now. He's not going to say anything. He's going to play out the rest of the season, which is good, focusing on the Falcons, which as he should.
You better.
But that's what it's looking like right now. He's going to come into that situation with a lot of extra money. I think they fired their GM, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So
they fired everybody.
He's going to get to be a huge aspect, whoever the new head coach is, of getting a new GM that he can work with. He's going to have probably full reign on this team. They're going to have one of the top, the second pick in the draft, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because I think they had two wins, the Browns had one. So, yeah, they'll get the second pick. So you have a chance to get someone like a Deshaun Watson or something that you can build a whole team around. The 49ers are in a decent place where they could rebuild. To be honest, I mean, it leaves you speechless. I mean, the crowd reaction alone gives you goosebumps just listening to. I mean, I know me and you were both there, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I've ever – I know since I've been here, I've never seen the crowd like that at Sanford Stadium. I mean, maybe the Tennessee game was close, but I think even for this, once they didn't get that fourth down, I mean, it was pandemonium in Sanford. And with JJ, he's been incredibly inconsistent recently because he's having to do too much. I think that's the biggest problem with what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
He's watched close to this year because last year he was playing behind Mann and Gaines.
Yeah.
So he was that third guy who they were having to worry about those guys.
So I guess he's also running with the other second string guys.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's having to take the ball out every time. He's the one having to set up the plays and get everything started, and then he's the one required to make the shots. It's just too much for one guy to do. An even more impressive thing, I think, was
with what happened
with D. Gordon in Miami. So the Braves-Marlins game was canceled on Sunday, but then come Monday when they finished up the series, to start the game, they had moment of silence, a lot of pregame stuff for Jose Fernandez. They had a real touching tribute video and then a moment of silence where then they played Take Me Out to the Ball Game on the Oregon, which was real, real touching. And then to start the game, D. Gordon, the leadoff hitter for the Marlins, comes up with Jose Fernandez's right-handed batting helmet. And he's normally a left-handed hitter. He lines up in the right-handed batter's box, mimics Fernandez's batting stance, takes a pitch, switches helmets, goes back to his side, the left side, and then proceeds to hit
a monster shot home run, his first home run of the season, I think. And as he's coming around the bases, just completely breaks down in tears as he gets to the end. And then is just embraced by his teammates and just standing ovation from the crowd. Just an incredibly, incredibly touching moment, kind of to top off this whole tragedy that happened. Another big thing is this is the last week now for Vin Scully.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest broadcaster of all time. As obviously Victor knows, Dodgers fan in there. Just forever voice of the Dodgers. You know, started in Brooklyn with them. Got to announce the first and only Brooklyn World Series in 1955. Got to announce all of Sandy Koufax's perfect games. The Dodgers World Series wins. The 1988 World Series, which what I think is the greatest moment in baseball history, with Kirk Gibson hitting game-winning home run on two hurt legs in the bottom of the ninth against the well-favored A's to win game one. He called, in some other non-Dodgers games, he called the famous Buckner game in 1986 series with the Mets winning. Numerous calls. He called Hank Aaron's record-breaking 715th home run because that was against Braves playing the Dodgers. Just, I mean, it doesn't end with the amount of amazing things that Vin Scully got to not only just, you know, live through, but got to work through and also be the voice of for just so many people. Basically, you had this team of college kids who were pieced together 6 months before the Olympics into a hockey team, going against this Russian team who had been playing together for 25 years, were basically professionals that were kind of skating around the Olympic system. They were professional hockey players playing here. They played for years, were the best team in the world for 20 years, winning gold medals in every Olympics after in between 1960 and 1980. And then these bunch of college kids go out and upset them in the not the gold medal game, in the semifinals to go to the gold medal game in Lake Placid in New York in 1980. And that is just – it is unbelievable. The game was amazing. And then the call was even better. Al Michaels' call is just one for the ages. And we want to thank you guys for listening. This has been Sports Power Hour here on 90.5 WUOG and online at WUOG.org. We'll see you guys next Wednesday at 5.